The only thing we would require is just a small artist credit, like my name to be on the, on any form of credit. And then the person who discovered the opportunity, you guys literally make every dime from that opportunity.
That's really cool. First of all, how would you describe the music that you make? Would I be wrong in calling it, it's country, but is it more like a fusion country vibe? Is that right? Like, how would you describe it to someone who hasn't heard it before?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to put it. Like just fusion country, because, you know, growing up, my first language was Spanish. And I grew up listening to a lot of Spanish music, Spanish speaking music. And I discovered country music in my late teens. And I decided to, you know, give it a shot at like fusing my love for Latin music and my love for country music, getting pretty experimental with the lyrics and the melodies. I love how like every time you listen to Latin music, it makes you feel good and smile. And country music does a similar thing. So I thought the two worlds clashing would be a cool little marriage.
That's super cool.
So something from one of your newer projects, the song Metagirl is about a Web3 love lost in the metaverse. Did this actually happen to you? And was she spending all of your Ethereum? And what's your favorite metaverse? Is it Mark Zuckerberg's or Decentraland?
Yes, and Decentraland.
Nice. Well done. Next question.
Perfect.
That's so cool. So you live in Nashville, right? I have spent some time in Nashville, and I think it's potentially one of the most livable cities in America. And a lot of people don't realize that until they've been there, because there's this perception that it's just all, you know, country music, but it's not. It's actually potentially one of the, it would be arguably almost in line with LA as being the music capital of America. And so could you maybe describe a little bit of what the country music scene looks like? So we have a lot of artists, we have a lot of audience who are in, you know, Sweden or other parts of Europe where country music might not be in their life as much as, you know, in Australia, we see it a bit as well. In America, it's really prevalent, but in European countries, it's not so popular. Could you describe what's distinct about the country music industry, not just the music type, but like what it is to be a music artist in that industry?
Yeah. So, moving to Nashville, like you said, everybody thinks when you move to Nashville or Music City, it's predominantly country music, but it's a huge melting pot. And especially like with the way country music is evolving over the years and, you know, pop music kind of like streaming its way in, Nashville's become very, very versatile when it comes to the music scene. There's a lot of rock bands, blues, you know, a lot of LA is starting to move to Nashville as well. But then the city is growing itself as well. You know, it's not just Southerners and country stuff, which is what people normally think when they think of Nashville, but it's becoming a big city vibe very, very quickly. But yeah, being a country music artist is really, really fun. Touring is still, you know, hotter than ever, you know, touring the country with a rock, with a band in a van, you know, hitting up festivals and whatnot. And I've noticed that the genre itself has grown immensely when it comes to the styles of country music. You know, you got the more Americana sounding ones, the folk sounding ones, but then you can also get, you know, artists like Kane Brown, who just performed at the VMAs, you know, with a very, very pop leaning country sound. So there's a style and a vibe for everybody in the genre, you know, lately. And I think now would be the perfect time to introduce a little Latin spice to country music. So, and that's where I come in.
Love it. That's so cool.
Yeah, that's great. Very insightful about how the genre actually works there. For Pixelated, it's your newest collection of 5,555 pixelated characters in a PFP collection. Holding the NFT doesn't only give you a new profile pic NFT, it also gives you the intellectual property rights of your new Web3 love song, Pixelated. So what made you choose a pixelated style project to go for with your song? Was it the song first or the collection that kind of came first as inspiration?
So I was always moved by pixel art. I've always been a big fan of it, especially, you know, growing up playing Pokemon on my Game Boy and, you know, going through the years of video games. I just love just the concept of video games and just digital art. And so I wrote the song kind of with the project in mind. I didn't know it was going to end up being the way it is, but I did know that I wanted to have some sort of pixelated vibe for the next drop. So we wrote, the song did come first. We cranked it out here in Nashville with a few other friends of mine, and the collection came after. But the idea of producing the same song in 14 different styles was definitely something that just kind of, you know, came out of nowhere. And it became like the core of the entire collection, like the whole reasoning of doing the whole project. So, you know, the collection does consist of 14 different unique musical styles of the same song. Two of them being one of ones, which are the harder ones to get in the collection. And then the PFPs are what you gain IP rights to. And then for the music, you earn commercial rights. So just for a little clarification, a lot of people are now like being introduced to, you know, the IP talk and the commercial rights talk in Web3, because for the first time ever, as creators, we're able to provide our fans the ability to not only consume music, but now they could utilize music and become entrepreneurs, utilizing, you know, these NFTs and allowing them to potentially earn a little bit of capital through their favorite artist's music or art.
That's cool. So, okay, in regards to like the commercialization of that music content that you're mentioning there in the project, does that mean, just for my clarification, so let's say Isaac and I both buy one of the pixelated NFTs and, you know, has the track. We might have different ones depending on what we get. But obviously, presumably, other people have my version. As you say, there's 12 different versions, and so chances are there's going to be a few people have mine. So it's obviously non-exclusive, or however you would frame that in the language, right? So like I can't, there's a chance that someone else puts their song on their ad and I put it on my ad and we both have ads on the TV with the same song. So there's a little bit of consideration there when I'm as to how I'm using it, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So there's going to be instances of that are going to come up. The way that we kind of built it is where, like, if somebody like you, Nathan, went and got hit up by Target, the only thing we would require is just a small artist credit, like my name, to be on the,
cool,
you know, okay, on any form of credit. And then the person who discovered the opportunity, it's you guys literally make every dime from that opportunity.
That's really cool.
Yeah. That's really awesome. So that's kind of how we're going to be dividing it up. So like, you know, you, Nathan, and you, Isaac, can both own the same song, but if a Jeep commercial, you know, got like hit you up, Isaac, and you used it, you earned the earnings for that. And then if Target hit you up, Nathan, you would earn the earnings for that. So like, it's not going to be, there's going to be new forms of these deals being structured as we go and deeper into Web3 and, you know, getting more flexible with the way music is rolled out, you know?
Gotcha.
So, and we're learning as we go, you know what I mean? Like the train is moving really, really fast. So I'm one to just, you know, throw the gum on the wall, and if it sticks, it sticks, you know?
Love it. That's so good.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. And one of the team members that I noticed was kind of a legal specialist. So obviously they've come across the rest of the team and
100%. Yeah.
Really well. Yeah. So there's six people in the team. Did you seek out those people when you wanted to start the project? Or were those people you already knew them all, they were already friends, and you all kind of founded it together? How did it work, and what's the founding kind of team look like?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, whenever I get asked this question about, you know, your team is this big, you know, or this is how many people are on your roster, it's really hard. It's really funny because I consider all of my NFT holders to also be part of the team, because like when we're not around, they're promoting the project, they're minting, they're adding value to the project, you know, they're spreading the word, and you know, we're one big village, right? But the core team, like you guys are saying, you know, we have our publicist Kaylee Hamilton, you know, we have our attorney Carlos, you know, based out of El Paso, you know, he's one of my favorite humans on the planet, and he's like allowing us to, you know, offer the whole IP commercial rights stuff to our holders. We have our good friend Diamond. She's the head mod in the Discord, so she keeps the community going and keeps them positive and keeps the momentum going. And then we have our artist Chloe Zorn, which is a blessing to be able to work with such an incredible female artist in the space. You know, the way that she brought Pixelated to life was, you know, surreal. It was insane. I never thought it'd be that badass. But yeah, I'm just very proud of the team, especially the Wen Mint team. You know, those are my developers and my NFT Launchpad team. They pretty much helped us put the whole project on the blockchain efficiently and in the right way to make sure that the experience to mint and to be part of the collection was flawless. What you were asking earlier about, like, how did it all, you know, assemble is we pretty much met on Twitter spaces and, you know, over a few months of just like having great conversation and, you know, them being part of other collections and me kind of getting a vibe of how they, you know, operate and go about business. I pretty much just write down who gives me the best vibe and, you know, who I can see myself working with. And I just reach out and go, hey, I'm planning a collection and I think you'd be a good fit for it. So I kind of just go with my gut and, you know, stick to people that inspire me and excite me to work with.
That's cool. I noticed, I think there's a bit of a theme there. One or two of the articles that I was reading that's on your site there, you were talking about, you know, maybe in your earlier days, you were writing, you know, thank you, you know, handwritten thank you letters to people who you were working with that you appreciated. And then you even talked about this story where you, you know, in preparation to move to Nashville, you were like looking on the back of CDs to try and find, to try and establish some sort of contact in Nashville before you were able to get there and you know, start doing what you were doing. And so I guess like how important in what you've been doing is the concept of relationships and having people around you that are helping you. And for other artists who are coming up, who are just in their bedrooms making music and think that's what it's all about, what would you tell them about the importance of also establishing themselves with other people in the world of music?
That's a great question. You know, I feel like we live in a time where like, you know, it's called social media, right? And you'd think it'd be social. But on the contrary, it's like it's quite antisocial because like people are showing all of their highlights and, you know, kind of putting out this like, you know, false image of themselves because like they want to, be on the same level as everybody else. But, you know, when it comes to social media, you know, we have having a tool like Twitter Spaces where you can connect with human beings from all over the world in real time and just have like really deep conversations with these people and ask them like questions. And pick their brains. Like I honestly see that to be the most valuable thing aside from selling NFTs, aside from making music. You know, at the end of the day, you just want to connect, you know, and that's what moves people to do anything in life. You just want to connect. And so I know I have a few thoughts when it comes to like musicians nowadays. A lot of them don't really want to put in the hours to community build or, you know, connect with their fan. They just want to make music. And the sad truth is that your music is not going to cut through unless you put yourself in front, you know, in the right circles of people and, you know, throw yourself in the crowd, if you will. And I feel like now more than ever in Web3, you know, the life source of the space, the ethos of the space is literally community and, you know, coming together as one to create this tight-knit community. And create history together. And the fact that my music is the vessel and my body, like I am the vessel to, you know, to then take my music to a whole nother level with this community and have the ability to take them with me. You know, that's super important. You know, you have to have that human touch and that spiritual connection to, for things like this to happen. But yeah, I mean, I'm all about that. I'm all about that first and foremost. And then, you know, making sure that the music is the, you know, on the forefront, yeah. You know, cause at the end of the day, nothing matters unless the music is good.
100%.
That's a really good point because typically you used to have someone who would just kind of, the label would take them and lock them in the studio and then they would take them and put them in a limo and put them on a jet and put them on tour,
that's it.
Standing up on stage. And then they would take them back and put them back in the studio again, you know? And it was almost like this, label kind of controlled the kind of narrative of the artists there, but what you're saying there is that you kind of have to get more and more involved with the Web3 space and build your own
Correct.
Community. Yeah. And it's good because it shows that you really care about your fans as well.
Yeah.
So Metagirl was the drop you did before this. And it appears to have 1,500 items, which grant you a free mint of pixelated. So with your NFTs, do you kind of hope to string them all together in this one long line of drops to kind of continuously build that community and kind of like allow free access to the next one and then the next one and then the next one? Or like, is that kind of a way to reward your fans for a loyalty, or are you just going to do it for only Metagirl and pixelated?
You know, it's funny because I've always had the idea of like somehow interweaving every future collection that I do, you know, and, you know, kind of creating almost like a final boss where like, if you want to like piece it all together, you need this NFT and this NFT and this NFT. And once you have all of them and like fuse them all together, you get something, you have a result. So that's definitely in the pipeline, you know, down the road. But for the time being, it's more like a loyalty thing where, you know, if you came through for me and, you know, picked up some of my Genesis NFTs from my Metagirl collection, it's kind of like a reward in return for, you know, holding on to my NFTs for so long. Because in this space, the goal is to have your holders not sell, you know, hold them for as long as possible. And if they do list them on the secondary market, to list them higher so that they could win, you know, they can make a profit, because that's the whole point of me doing this, is for my fans to, you know, potentially earn a little profit off of something that I created. But yeah, it's definitely a loyalty system at the moment where, you know, for every Metagirl heart that, you know, you hold in your wallet, when we hit the phase four of our current mint for pixelated, as long as you hold the Pulse Pass, you will be airdropped the same amount of pixelated NFTs for free as the number of digital hearts in your wallet. So if you have 20 hearts, 20 free pixelated. And that's instant value, because, you know, you can go back to your OpenSea wallet, and if the floor of pixelated is 0.1 and you listed all of them for 0.1, that's 2 ETH for free. And what's that right now? ETH is $1,500 right now. That's $3,000, you know? But this is, again, this is historic and it's subjective. So, you know, but that's just at the time that we're saying this, you know, that's, you know, that's pretty much what it is. And, you know, I want to see my fans win and like, I guess, see past the utility of music and art. There's more to it. So, yeah, I'm just happy to, I'm able to provide that.
I like to think that a lot of the people who potentially watch this podcast are musicians who are becoming inspired by people like yourself, Sammy, who have taken the leap into the Web3 space and are utilizing that platform and that community. And so the way you're describing stuff is really powerful, because I think it's giving them an insight into you know, it's making the cogs turn in their head as to, well, oh, I could do something like that for my fans. And so just diving into that a little bit more, a few things that you said there. You mentioned the Pulse Pass. You mentioned the stage that you're at. I think you've up to stage 4 at the moment. Could you just, and then one other thing that would be good to clarify is, I think there's a mechanism where when you hold, maybe not still, but at one point when you held 5 Metagirl NFTs, there was also a reward there. Could you talk about the Pulse Pass and that maybe that 5 NFT mechanism as well?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I'm happy that you brought that up, you know, to bring a little clarification, because there's a lot of gamification going on in these NFTs.
It's really fun.
Yeah, so we wanted to create a fun experience, you know, for the holders, and, you know, add a little spice to it. So, you know, when we did Metagirl, we created one piece of 3D art, where the only difference is the Ethereum jewel that's on the digital heart. So if you look closely when you hit play, you'll notice that there's an Ethereum jewel on the heart beating inside of the life pod. And we had 5 different colors. So we made it so where before a certain date, which was March 15th, if you collected all the 5 ETH jewel colors, you'll be eligible to win a limited edition merch box with either a hoodie or a t-shirt or a beanie or a flat bill cap. a thank you card and a few other goodies in the box as well, stickers and whatnot. And that's what we did. You know, on March 15th, we did a snapshot and where we captured everybody who was eligible. And we built these boxes with all these goodies, and we mailed them all over the world.
Was every piece of audio exactly the same on those Metaverse NFTs?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, cool. All right.
So all across, so the only difference in the collection is the color of the ETH jewels. But if you think about it, they're all one of ones, but there's 1500 of them. Like, they're all the same, but there's 1500 of them. Yeah. So it's more of a Genesis collection where, you know, if you want to be part of my first ever NFT, music NFT that, you know, I've ever done, you have a 1 in 1500 chance to be a holder, you know, or more, you know, if you're more loyal. But yeah, and then, you know, when we did Pixelated, we wanted to really bring in that PFP culture, because that's what everybody wants. They all want to wear profile pictures and show off their NFTs.
And then how does the Pulse Pass interact with that?
Okay, so what we did is, first of all, we also created the Pulse Pass as a loyalty reward as well. We airdropped one Pulse Pass for every person that owned a MetaGirl. It was a gift for the OG community. Yeah. So everybody got a Pulse Pass, and it's pretty much like the Sammy VIP membership card. Right. And so we called it the Pulse Pass because the digital heart and the pulse, you know, kind of keeping that theme going, and has good alliteration, you know, just kind of float off the tongue. And, but yeah, the pass gets you mint discounts. It gets you merch discounts on the merch site on my website. It gets you a free entry to my IRL shows as well. If I have a ticketed show, if you just show it at the door, you get free entry.
And whoa, then, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's one of my favorite utilities for the pass. We made it so where when you have a Pulse Pass during the Pixelated Mint, for every digital heart you have, you get a free Pixelated pretty much. So that's going to bring back that Genesis collection and incentivize people to, you know, collect more of those digital hearts so that they could earn more free Pixelated. And another cool utility that the Pulse Pass has is that it grants you the ability to attend our private Zoom concerts on Sundays. I throw little private acoustic concerts on Zoom from home. And the only people who can attend it are those who verify that you have a Pulse Pass. So yeah, the cool thing about that, the Pulse Pass is that it's called a utility NFT, where you can continuously stack cool stuff onto it, you know, ongoingly, because as music artists, we're always coming up with cool new things. You know, we are the roadmap ultimately. So we're always playing new shows, releasing new merchandise, we're dropping new songs, videos, etc. And so the Pulse Pass allows me to just build that utility.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's really cool. It's great that you can kind of add all those different benefits gradually for your fans. Like you can be like, oh yeah, and you also get to go to my in-person shows, and you also get to go to my Sunday night private shows. Where, and I think that's something that the real diehard fans would really like as well, because you know, people love that stuff.
It's also so smart, because if you hold that Pulse Pass and then you drop this next collection, obviously there's hype around the new collection. So naturally that's going to have a lot of hype around it. But it also like incentivizes people to go and buy the previous collection so they can get more of the next collection. It's super smart on your behalf, because then it pushes like legacy collections and they don't get forgotten. And so it's really, really smart. Super smart. Love it.
Exactly, yeah.
So with speaking of music, with over 390,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, 42,000 followers on Twitter, you got 20,000 subscribers on YouTube. Where do you think your biggest source of current holders comes from? And is it hard to convince country music fans to get into Web3?
You know, Twitter Spaces is hands down the way that I've been able to, you know, do the most outreach and make people aware of what I'm doing when it comes to music and NFTs, you know, on the Ethereum blockchain. But country music is, you know, it's still not there. You know, cryptocurrency is not a thing yet, in my opinion, in country music. Not even digital assets. Like, they don't even understand the concept of that. There is, of course, some people who are forward thinkers and want to understand the technology. And I've been able to onboard them. And, you know, I've successfully probably onboarded about 25 to 50 people since I started in the space. But a lot of people are just not there. You know, they're just not technologically savvy enough to understand the complexity of this space. But with time, you know, people will come up with, you know, apps and, you know, stuff that'll facilitate the process.
Yeah, that's so true. So something that we don't always ask, we actually don't regularly talk about this, but obviously another block does string royalty distribution. That's sort of what we're doing. We've got another drop coming out soon. Do you have any thoughts around, and you can be honest here, do you have any thoughts around, as an artist, whether you would see any utility in maybe one day allowing fans to own a piece of your streaming rights for any of your songs, whether it's current songs or future songs? Do you think that's a world that could be helpful for you?
I think it's a cool idea. I mean, it's always cool to just be flexible and, you know, provide, you know, utility back to the fan in that aspect. But the streaming world is already so poorly structured, you know, when it comes to earnings for writers and producers. And I just don't think the return would even matter. You know, if you're going to split it amongst a ton of people, it's not even a lot for one person. So like, you know, when it comes to splitting the master, I mean, it's cool to be able to own a piece of one of your favorite artists' song, and just being able to say that alone is cool. It's cool. You know what I mean? It's, if you have that collector's mentality, I could see how that could be something that you'd cherish. But on the income side of things, I don't see it being something that's worth. It's not. There's not going to be much of a return there, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see what that looks like, because I am really interested to see what the return looks like as well. So we talked to Andre. He has started a startup called SoundMint, and if you're not aware of it, they do generative NFT music stuff. And they take it even further and produce totally unique versions. So they just get like a bunch of different stems and use AI to, you know, put it all together. Is that a step further from what you've done in this platform? Like you've kind of created each one, like you've named them. I'm talking about obviously the Pixelator project. You've named them and they're almost like they have a little genre of themselves every song. Would you ever do something where it's like, yep, here's a bunch of stems and let's see what pops out the other end?
Oh, that would be super cool. So I've never done that myself. I'm guessing you'd have to produce the song in the same key.
Yeah, same key, same BPM. He mentioned that it's like going to a studio and when you're laying down tracks, you lay down slightly different versions. You might do 10 different versions. And you're like, oh, I like this one for the album. And then you're like, well, let's use the rest of them for this generative stuff.
Yeah, so like it would be the same BPM, the same key, but then you can just kind of switch up the percussion sounds or the guitar parts, even vocal production. Cause the vocal is the more flexible one, cause it just sits on top of everything. But yeah, I mean, I'm totally down to do that. I mean, as a musician, that allows us to kind of explore new channels in my musical mind to like, you know, get more creative. Cause like, we're so used to just creating one version of a song and that's it, you know? But with the fact that we have the ability to do that is super freaking cool.
It's wild, right? And it's so special because the fans get to have like, I'm the only person who owns this version of this song. No one else can hear this unless I show it to them. And I think, wow, that's really cool.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it. It's super cool. Yeah.
Well, it's been Sammy. We've had country music star on the show for the first time on Another Block Studios episode 16. We've got the song Metagirl. We've got Pixelated, where you can own the commercial rights to an NFT project, which is really cool, and have your own NFT PFP, which is a pixelated PFP. Sammy, is there anywhere where people should go to find out more? Is it mostly just your Twitter that you're driving traffic to at the moment?
Yeah, so I have two websites at the moment. If you'd like to learn more about, you know, me as an artist and just me in general, we do have sammynft.com. You can find everything there, the music, the merchandise, you know, external links to the NFT project, so you can learn about those. But pixelated.love is the main site for the current project that we're minting. You could learn a little bit more about, you know, where the project, you know, came from, who, you know, the artist as well, and just all the little fine details about the collection. And we also have one of the versions of the song on the website. So if you'd like to just hear the song, the original version of the song, there's a play button that you could just hit and it'll play. But yeah, and then I'm also on the good old TikTok and Instagram and Pinterest.
But TikTok's kind of blown up, right? Is that true?
We've been very fortunate. We've been blessed by the algorithm a few times, and it's definitely helped the streaming numbers for sure, on the Spotify side of things and Apple Music. Still trying to figure out how I'm going to streamline my NFT stuff into that platform, but it's a work in progress. But yeah, guys, that's where you can find me. I'm mostly on Twitter, interacting with my community on Twitter Spaces and in my private messages as well. So if anybody has any questions, feel free to reach out, and I'm more than happy to hit you back.
Done. That's amazing. Well, Sammy, thank you so much for coming on. One of the most approachable, you know, artists that we've met. And so really appreciate that.
I appreciate y'all. Have a good one. Cheers.
Thanks, bro.